from local high school sports.
It's good to be joined by our Student Athlete of the Week. Anthony, how's it feel to be a Student Athlete of the Week?
Feels good, man.
To your Fresno State Bulldogs.
Pleasure to always have Coach Entz in the building here. And Coach, how are you doing on this Tuesday night?
Doing good. Doing really good.
When the athletic director of Fresno State drops in here at ESPN Fresno. Garrett, it's good to have you in.
You know, we're just grinding every day trying to get better. But, man, beautiful weather right now.
And voices from the pros.
On ESPN Fresno with Sean Merriman, Charger linebacker. Great.
Man, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Q Myers joining me now. He's with the Raiders, of course.
Man, I love Fresno. Yeah. I really do, man.
Rick Neuheisel here with us on ESPN Fresno.
It is a treat to be on ESPN Fresno.
This is your home for all things sports. Hosted by Phil Bonatti. Breaking it down, calling it like it is, and taking you behind the game. This is Behind the Bench on ESPN Fresno.
That is right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, at the start of our 3 o'clock hour today. Going 2 hours today as we take you up to 5 o'clock before we send it out to Colorado, Denver, Colorado, for the Giants and the Rockies, who start their weekend series. 5:10 pregame with a 5:40 first pitch from downtown Denver. Beautiful Coors Field. I would highly recommend, if you ever get a chance to go to that ballpark, to do so. Please. It's a wonderful experience. We are here live till 5 o'clock, like I said. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us from the previous hour. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays on 1430ESPNFresno.com and on the ESPN Fresno app. So be sure to listen to his show. Be sure to listen to my show, Behind the Bench, from 3 to 6 normally on weekdays. And also Palmetto Show, the Central Valley Sports Report, from 10 a.m. to noon. So all that programming, of course, which 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays, by the way, not 10 a.m. to noon every day. little busy for Paul Meadows there, but there we go. He'll be here tomorrow on our program. Anyways, good to be here. Good to be alongside you all. Of course, we got a wonderful show for you today. If you want to be a part of it, Lee's Air Hotline is how you reach us. Sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Lee's Air Hotline is 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of us on our show, 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of us on the show today, the Lee's Air Weather Check. Just beautiful, wonderful, perfect weather here in Fresno. A little cloudy, 75 degrees. That's where we're topping out today. Get up to 83 tomorrow, 89 on Sunday. Then we're going to touch those 90s. Nothing too crazy, though, that we know of at the start of June. 90s, mid-90s, we'll take it. If we had those hundreds like they were projected a couple, you know, maybe 5 days ago. This is why you never overreact to the weather app when you are at the beginning of the week before. You don't want to see 102 and just say, okay, what the heck is going on here? But 90s is going to be next week, so summer, folks, it's here. We all know it. Anyways, good to be here, like I said. Got Roosevelt baseball coming in the show today. They play a championship tomorrow, and we will have that conversation with them. They get set to play Corcoran tomorrow at 1 p.m. in the D6 championship. So I invited them on the show. They'll join us 4 o'clock today. Manny Milano and a couple players as well will be hanging out here at 4 o'clock to get set for their big game. What else are we talking about today? Of course, we have the Spurs Thunder game 6 wrapped up last night. We'll talk about that, of course, and where that series is going to head, which is now a game 7. Two best words in sports as we know it, huh? Giants, of course, they get started with their Colorado Rockies series. Is there anything that could turn their season around? We'll see if that conversation can bear fruit. High school, we'll talk about a little bit as well. Maybe a little NFL talk from the OTA side of things. We got a little consumed in grass talk yesterday, so maybe we talk into some topics I was hoping to get to as well. And, of course, we'll get set for the weekend. What are we watching this weekend? We'll have a lot of that to discuss in the last segment of the show as well as we get you set towards your weekend and get you set towards our broadcast on Saturday. A reminder, we will have Bullard and Liberty, the D1 championship in Central Section, tomorrow night, 5:45 pregame, live from Visalia. Myself, Paul Meadows, and Jim Sandrini is going to join us on the broadcast as well. I officially got word of that today. So we will have Jim Sandrini once again, who's been a big part of our playoff coverage. 6 p.m. first pitch, and then, of course, we will take you to the remainder of the Giants game that evening on Saturday. So jam-packed, ready to roll. Make it happen. And we're 2 hours to get you all set up here. And, of course, we're streaming live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, as always, on ESPN Fresno. So be sure to check us out there as well. Producing over on Behind the Glass, Jorge is here to take us home for the next 2 hours. Jorge, how are we doing on this wonderful Friday afternoon?
I'm taking them home.
You're taking us home, man.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Taking us home to the weekend. Me and you getting us set.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that how it is?
Making it happen, man.
Okay.
Well, it's not just me and you. I'm going to throw him in the fire here. We got Gunner, who's here as well. And let's maybe we get a show debut. Just ask how Gunner's doing on this Friday. Gunner's an intern with us for the summer, so he'll be hanging around with us. So you might be hearing his voice from time to time. So I am offering the opportunity. Gunner, how are we doing on this Friday?
Doing good, doing good. I mean, not much to complain about here in the Central Valley. Talked about it, 75, partly cloudy on the end of, what is it, May 29th?
Yeah.
I mean, how often you get to say that?
Well, June's going to get ready right around the corner. As soon as June 1st, we're seeing those 90s. So we couldn't get a cool enough day in June to make it happen. But I love it here. I was worried about tomorrow, let's be honest with ourselves, because going down to Visalia and calling a game, I love Valley Strong Ballpark, but the one thing about it is the press box is kind of a wooden box. It's 98, 100 degrees calling a game like we did last year. Thankfully, it was a night game last year when we did Kingsburg and Ridgeview, but I was not looking forward to that environment, and thankfully I looked at the first pitch of temperature for tomorrow night's game, and it's looking like right at 81 degrees, and I am thrilled about it. Perfect for me. So feel like we dodged a bullet. Oh, Gunner, you're going to go down there later today, and it's going to be some nice, just cool weather for a baseball game this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got Grizzlies tonight too, Toy Story night. You guys big Toy Story fans?
When I was a kid, yeah.
Isn't it funny how long Toy Story's been around, man?
Yeah, because I was a kid.
Well, yeah, since you were a kid. And Jorge, we know as long as it's how long it's ago has been you've been a kid, man. How old were you when Toy Story came out? Do you want to share with the viewers?
I was 9.
Was Toy Story 1995? Man.
Is that long ago?
Yeah, holy cow. 31 years ago, man. 31 years ago.
Yeah.
That's insane. I was 2 years old. Now I really revealed myself here just now. I was very young. Did not see it in theaters, I got to imagine.
I saw it in theaters, but I saw it in Mexico like months later.
How was Mexico Toy Story? Like, was
it was a version in Spanish.
So you did they have the voice, then they dubbed it, or did they have the...
It was dubbed.
Yeah, not the subtitles.
Well, most kids, you know, they learn how to read, but it's a fast-paced movie, so
yeah,
it's hard to read fast if you have, you know.
So did you hear Tim Allen subtitles and Tom Hanks' voices when you first watched it, or did
no.
they?
Not until I heard, saw the second one here in the States.
Really?
Yeah.
That's got to be a funny, interesting, experience to have, right? Interesting.
Yes, the one that was the one that's really different. It's the Shrek movie.
Oh, is it really different? Totally different.
The Spanish version is different. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's still the same kind of funny. It's just
do they ham it up a little bit? Do the Spanish speaking?
I think what happened is they let them dub it themselves to whatever. They didn't have like standards because most of them. You know, they have like oh, you got to say it like this, and the joke doesn't really hit because, you know,
it's kind of weird, right?
Different. Yeah. So they let them do their own jokes, and it was a big hit in Mexico.
I'm kind of realizing now how vastly different the world is for people who experience movies in a different language.
The Simpsons, because I grew up watching The Simpsons.
Yeah.
So weird listening to one side and then hearing the other side.
The American, the English side versus the Spanish side, yeah. and where the difference of the jokes is. I wonder if the jokes are written just slightly differently. I wonder if they have to consider that and like just the formulation of joke.
I think what the Simpsons did, they did the same that Shrek did, especially in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Just let them do their own colloquial jokes.
Oh, yeah.
That way it hits better than like if you translate a joke in English from English to Spanish.
Yeah.
And I think they did that in a lot of countries, and that's why it became like bigger hit.
Fascinating. I'm fascinated by that world, man. And they probably millions of dollars are always on the line of kids' movies that have to make sure that, or even comedies or anything like that. Funny kind of world, how that all situated. And something I never thought about. Thank you for giving me that perspective, Jorge. Appreciate you giving me that perspective.
And it's not just cartoons, it's all the movies.
Oh, yeah. Everything, man. I have a theory. There was a show I got into on Netflix. It came out like, I can't remember, 4 or 5 years ago. It was a French show. And it was called Le Pan. You ever heard that show?
Yeah, I think I have, yeah.
Yeah, where he's like a robber. I don't know. He's like a heist guy.
Yeah, they wear the mask. Yeah. Things. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
But the show, I heard the English dubbing was horrendous. Like, because it's a French-speaking show. And so the hack I listen, I watch the show in French and I have the subtitles in English. So, like, you can hear the emotion better when they're speaking the actual language of the show. And then I just read the subtitles along with it. And I felt like that was the best way to consume it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right.
I like it when, like, some artists, some, like, actors.
Yeah.
That speak both languages, they do their own dubbing.
Yeah.
Like Salma Hayek and what was it, like the Shrek movie, one of the Shrek movies, or the Cat Boots and Cats.
The Puss in Boots movies? Yeah. 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 I haven't watched Puss in Boots. Apparently, it's really good. Gunnar, you have a preference? Are you a subtitle guy, or do you want to have the English dub for your shows if you're watching like an international show?
No, this actually hits close home because I was just watching a movie with my friends last night, and the subtitles were on, and I was thinking about how it's just your whole experience changes when you're watching subtitles or not. Like
right.
You pay attention to things less on screen, but you notice the words more.
You're just staring at the words as they come, right?
And is then that ethical or is that an unethical way to watch a movie?
That's I don't know.
My question.
Well, because people generally like to have the phone up a little bit when they're watching something, right? Especially when you're at home. But if you have the subtitle on, like nothing's helping you there. You're going to miss like a good chunk of what's happening if you're not really paying attention, if you're used to watching with the subtitle situation. I have friends who absolutely ask for the subtitles anytime I'm watching something. I'm like, are your ears okay? Like, because, like, let's be frank, you know, like you should be able to retain stuff as people. But like for some reason, the subtitles are like, you know, gospel, man. It's like they gotta have them, and it drives me nuts because it just distracts me. They don't want to miss anything. I get it, but man, just be better with your ears. No, I don't know.
I think that watching, like, if I watch something for the first time, I don't need subtitles.
Yeah,
but if I watch something the second time, I kind of want those subtitles just to see if I miss anything.
Do you think we ever get to a state where, like, hey, this, we go to a movie theater and this showing has subtitles and this showing doesn't? Do we think we ever get to a point where we have to, like, have the subtitle showing of the movie versus the non-subtitle showing of the movie? Do you think we'll ever get there?
I have zero clue. That's an interesting question because that just kind of takes away from the mystique of a movie.
Right, because you just have this blocky whatever.
I mean, that's how people watch it in other countries with subtitles.
Yeah, that's the thing, right?
So I mean, unless it's dubbed and subtitled, but I think I think it's been done before because they had like you know, like movies where like you know, deaf people go like
true
ALS.
Yeah, they have the people who are deaf and they can't hear the movie. They got to see it. But I think they give them the vices that, like, but then again, you're like, I don't know this world.
Back in the day, it was different, but yeah.
So fascinating stuff. Movies, man. They matter. Anyways, favorite Toy Story character. Who you got?
For me, it's probably the dinosaur.
Yeah, Rex.
Rex, yeah.
Rex is good. Gunnar, what about you?
Gotta go with Slinky.
Slinky's good, man. Oh, man. And it's a shame that the original Slinky, who's the original? It was the comedian. He died way too young. Who's the comedian that voiced Slinky in the first couple movies?
Before my time.
Yeah, before your time. Or, hey, oh, man.
Who I don't remember.
Jim Varney. Jim Varney. He passed away in 2000.
Right. Yeah.
But he was, he was Ernest. Ernest Goes to Jail, Ernest Goes to Camp, those Ernest movies.
Yeah.
You remember in the late 80s, early 90s? Ernest Saves Christmas. That guy was famous, man. I maybe I'm Mr. Potato Head, I love his attitude, man. Like
that was Don Rickles, wasn't it?
Yeah, he takes no bleep. Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, Don Rickles was he was a character.
Yeah, so got a lot of favorite ones. Anyways, we were sidetracked to that. I'm going to the Grizzlies game tonight, so that's why Toy Story was on my mind. Which, by the way, Grizzlies have had two insane games when they're wearing, like, random jerseys. They're wearing, like, these Toy Story-themed jerseys where they got the clouds, you know, the classic cloud formation on it, and probably characters all around.
You know what the giveaway is?
I think it's you just have a chance to buy those jerseys. I think there's no giveaway tonight. I think, but I do know there's bounce houses tonight. So if you're big into bounce houses, this is the game for you to go to. Of course, fireworks. I'm sure we're going to hear all kinds of Toy Story songs out there as well. Grizzlies right now lost last night in a close one, and they are in a big-time battle with the San Jose Giants at the moment for the first half. A reminder that minor league baseball, of course, splits its season in half, and first half winner goes to the playoffs, second half winner does as well, and they go battle in a playoff series at the end of the year. Grizzlies currently hold a one-game lead with three games left to go over San Jose, so these games matter a whole lot. They're double, basically worth double if you consider that. I think a win tonight certainly helps them. I said they need to win four in this series. They've won two already. They got to win two of the next three, in my opinion, for me to feel really comfortable about saying the Grizzlies are going to make the playoffs at the end of the year. We always think it's better when the Grizzlies have a playoff series at the end of the year. So, they played two insane games, by the way, with the themed jerseys. The first game was SpongeBob night, had a massive comeback late stages. I remember Roldy Brito hitting one over to left center and basically took a go-ahead homer from that. And then, of course, they had the wild walk-off on Star Wars night where they came back tied in the ninth, and then another base hit in the ninth inning ended up winning it for them. So I remember seeing that video. Sold-out crowd for Star Wars night. Who knows how many people are going down to down to Chichansey tonight for a chance to watch this team play. So should be fascinating. But I'll be there tonight. I know, Gunner, you're going to be down in Visalia. Guess Jorge's got to choose where he's going tonight. So I'm kidding. I'm not putting any pressure on you.
I'm going to be at home.
Yeah? You're going to be at home?
Yeah, probably listening to the game, the Giants game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got to lock in because, you know, you're the only one. You're the only one I know who has faith in the Giants this year. That I know. Even then, you're not even like agreeing with me here. You're just kind of staring at me, like I'm putting something on you here.
That's it. It is what it is.
You know? It is what it is, says Jorge, and no better way to end this segment than that. Let's get into some sports stories. Let's take a break, and when we come back, let's get into Spurs Thunder, man. That was fascinating. And we got a game 7 tomorrow. I can't wait for that. So let's talk about it next year on 1430 ESPN. You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch girl, but it's gone too far, cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. That Friday feeling as we are getting close to our weekend here. 2 hours before we send it out to Denver, Colorado for Giants and Rockies. We'll talk about them in a little bit. But I want to get into last night's NBA action. Of course, you heard it right here on 1430, Spurs and Thunder Game 6. And Jorge and I both had a feeling the Spurs would end up beating the Thunder last night. You said by a buzzer beater shot. You know.
I said a close game. I said a close game.
I said by 7. I was just 20 points off. 27-point win by the Spurs last night over the Thunder.
Maybe the Thunder there took a day off.
I felt like after the third, like midway through the third, I didn't need to watch them anymore. I knew that game was pretty much toast for the Thunder after that. Spurs were getting a lot of production from everywhere outside of Victor Wembanyama. This is the first time this year or this series that the Spurs had a plus minus in the positive without Victor Wembanyama, right? They were plus 14 on the court when Victor Wembanyama was off the court, right? So all the other games they saw minus production in points when Wemby was off the floor. That's, if you're the Thunder, is that an alarming stat when they're plus 14 and the next best production they got was minus 5, right, in game 5? Actually, considering the Spurs are getting better production throughout this series in the last three games as opposed to the first three games, they've been less reliant on Victor Wembanyama in the production standpoint. The bench is seeing a lot better production. Then again, these two of the last three games have been significant blowouts from the Spurs, considering when we go game 4 and game 6 versus game 5 when it flipped the other way. Is that a product of them being at home for game 4 and game 6? That also could be taken into consideration. I would allow that to be a part of that consideration. But production is production wherever you get it. And to me, last night was a really, really productive game for San Antonio. Seeing that they could sit Wemby in certain situations, rest Wemby in certain situations, and they were able to kind of win going away. I think that was the perfect script for the Spurs to be able to handle the workload Victor Wembanyama had, which I knew it looked like in game 5. When you watched game 5, he looked tired. He looked gassed. He looked kind of spent in some situations. No wonder the Thunder had real good production when Wemby was defending against their shooters. They shot the best they had in game 5, the Thunder did, when Wembanyama was, of course, defending them. Because I don't think he was getting good closeouts in any of those situations in game 5. Game 6 really didn't matter because the production from the offensive standpoint, the Spurs role players showing up at home just seemed like one of those games where the Avalanche poured on it. And Wemby didn't need to play much in the back half of the game. That's as good of a script you could ask for if you're the San Antonio Spurs perspective, to go into a game 7, winner take all, and feel like you have your guys ready to go. Oh, and by the way, just saw a news nugget that popped up that Jalen Williams is going to be out for the Thunder with a hamstring injury. So they're down a guy, a role player, in this one in game 7. Will that end all be all be the reason why the Thunder could have a chance to lose in this series, which I still don't quite think is going to be the case? I do think the Thunder still have an upper hand game 7 coming in. But there's a lot of different factors coming in. That margin's tight now for OKC in my mind. I think the margin's still there for OKC, but it's gotten a lot tighter from what we've seen. Everything you could ask for from San Antonio last night, if you want to have a chance to beat this Thunder team in back-to-back games, was there for them last night in game 6. So that's my initial reaction to it. Jorge, I'm sure you had the same reaction to game 6 in that perspective as well.
Yeah, like you mentioned, that I think that there was something there in the third quarter that it felt like, you know, OKC was just giving up. Not necessarily giving up, but maybe
they knew the train was leaving the station.
Yeah.
They knew, all right.
They scored 13 points.
We got a home game on Saturday. You want to win that, but you don't want to kill yourself trying to come back and win that.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a 13-point quarter. Like, they knew, I mean, if you score less than 20, you can't win this game.
Yeah.
So, it felt like they were just, you know, all right, we'll win it at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of those
games. Winner take all. It's hard to rest on your laurels, though, in a game like that when things aren't going for your way and just assume, yeah, all right, we got game 7 we can fall back on. Because you never know, man.
Yeah.
Game 7s, you never know. Gunn, did you watch the game last night? You get a chance to watch the game last night?
Yeah, I mean, that third quarter, like when the Spurs go on that 20-0 run and SGA is just kind of ineffective.
Yeah.
You see him put his lowest point total, or one of his lowest point totals of the year, 15 points. Just they're kind of getting to him. I mean, they're just able to be like physical like that. The Spurs defense, as mm-hmm. they were last night, it's going to be interesting to see how SGA bounces back, because you got to assume he's going to.
No wonder their Spurs defensive guy, their defensive coach, is going to take a head coaching gig at Orlando at the moment. SGA minus 28 in the plus minus in this series. He was a plus 74 in the first two rounds when he was on the floor. He's 24. 0.3 points per game against the Spurs. He had 29 in the first two rounds when he swept the Phoenix Suns and he swept the Los Angeles Lakers. And you can compare those two, because that's 8 games in the first two rounds and we're in the game 7, right? So it's comparable sample size between each segment there when it comes to that. But it's going to be fascinating what Game 7 looks like. And historically, folks, we're getting something we haven't gotten in 40-plus years with this Game 7. Because this is the first Game 7 between two top three MVP finishers since 1982. If you want to go historical context here, we're talking Larry Bird and Julius Irvin. Doc Irvin going at it in 1982, in which Dr. J ended up winning that series and moving on into the NBA Finals. Same matchup happened in 81. You had George Gervin, Elvin Hayes in 79. You have Bill Russell and Oscar Robertson in 63. Russell and Chamberlain in 62. And Bob Pettit and Elgin Baylor back in 61. So there's your last time we've seen this. And now we get SGA and Victor Wembanyama going at it in a Game 7 in a conference division final in NBA history. Ain't that something? I like that as far as the historical context of what is exactly we are going to be seeing on Game 7 on Saturday, which, by the way, you can listen to on 790 over at 4 o'clock, 4:30, right, Jorge? Is that what we got?
Yes, 4:30.
4:30. Good news for the Knicks, too, right? Because these two teams are just throwing haymakers at each other, and they're sitting at home, you know, outside of a bum pinky from their big man, you know. Seemed like everything was going well for them on the rest men side of things. But outside of that, you know, who knows what comes out of this Game 7 coming into it, right? And I'm going to be fascinated by what the matchup is going to look like with these two teams. Of course, Wemby seems to be kind of embracing a villainous side to him, a little more of a dark streak to him when it comes to how he's handled the media, how he's handled the play on the court. I'm not insinuating anything. I'm not saying anything, but it is a little suspicious when Victor Wembanyama goes and whispers in Mason Plumlee's ear about 1 minute left in the game. And he's whispering in Bismarck Biyombo's ear with about a minute and a half in the game when they're subbing in. And then suddenly we see a hard foul on Jared McCain. So not saying anything, but read between the lines a little bit about what's going on at that end of Game 5. These two teams don't like each other, man. I love it. I love it. We haven't had a great rivalry. I mean, when's the last time we've seen two teams feel like we're going to be locked in, stepped in, like seeing these two teams battle it out for quite some time? I mean, Cavs-Warriors, really? Like 4 years in a row? Like feels like, and even then, that wasn't a natural rivalry. It just happened to be because how great those two teams were for a stretch of 4 years in a row. But because these two teams are going to play each other a lot in the regular season, they're going to play each other a lot in the postseason, it feels like. I can't think of a better rivalry like we've had in quite some time, maybe since like Heat Celtics in the early 2010s, like when we had you know, the remnants of the Big Three versus the new Big Three against the Heat. I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong.
At the Heat Celtics, yeah, okay. I can see that. I don't know. It just feels I'm just hoping it's not, it doesn't end up like what, you know, how the Indiana Pacers of Reggie Miller did with the Bulls, you know.
Oh, the they joke.
Ended up not making any finals, and
yeah,
that's kind of what I'm hoping it doesn't happen, because I feel like both these teams deserve to at least go to a one final, you know.
Right.
But like you said, these are tough teams that are young and have like years to.
Are you ready to sign up for Spurs Thunder like every year for the next like 5-7 years here? Like, are you ready to sign up for that? Like, because I'm enjoying it right now. You know, obviously
it's been happening.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, NBA. Like, when did you get tired of Warriors Caps? I'm sure you got tired of it after how many
probably
years?
Probably the third one.
The third one. You're Gunner. You were tired of it after round three, or what were you?
I mean, as a LeBron fan, it got tiring after a while. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think this. I don't know if you'd get tired of this, and I don't know if you have a choice of whether you can sign up for these or not. Because these dudes, I mean, they're both teams are young, both teams are dominant. It's like it's gonna happen,
right? I don't think I'm trying to think of comparisons here. Like, what rivalries have we seen in the NBA?
You could get really tired of it, honestly.
Like Heat Celtics, like Heat Celtics in the 2010s. Even Heat Celtics in the late 2020, early 2020s, when we had the Jimmy Butler versus Tatum guys, the 2 years where they were going back and forth, and of course the Heat ended up going to the finals, and then the Celtics beat them later, right?
I mean, those Rockets Warriors series for a few years, but the Rockets obviously
it was
never
always one sided though. It was so one sided with the Warriors, right? It's got to be both sides, like Spurs Heat, but we only got 2 years of that. Yeah, it's like I'm having a hard time trying to find where we're going to see this rivalry for quite some time, because it just feels like when you have two greats like that, like I said, the top two MVP finishers, like we haven't seen this since the 80s. Like we haven't seen this since the Sixers and the Celtics were going at it early, and then suddenly we've got Celtics-Lakers going after it for a while. So I'm excited to see what the chapter starts with this one, and who rightfully should take this chapter. Like, there's always a question of who has earned this series a little bit more, too. I think maybe there's that with the people who are watching this thing. Like, who's won this series in your mind based off of what you're perceived? To me, the Spurs feel like they overperformed a little bit more than I thought. I think the Thunder truly feel like a team that can't be beat, because we always had that assumption at the beginning of the year. We knew that at the beginning of the year. And the Spurs were this team we knew about but didn't really have this idea of them being a two seed for this long, right? We knew they could be good. We knew Wemby was a freak of nature, but we didn't know they could be capable of winning this way this early on. And it's going to be fascinating to see what path is going to be taken here, right? Like, we're in a fork in the road of history between these two teams, and whether SGA is going to be doing things that LeBron, Jordan are doing, Bill Russell are doing, which is MVP back-to-back years and an NBA Finals appearance back-to-back years. Ain't that something? Or we're going to see the other side, and we're going to see the Spurs team take that next step and go up against the New York Knicks, who, by the way, I think is a very capable opponent that's waiting on the other side. I'm fascinated. What fork in the road? I'm giving you one choice. You want Thunder in the final, you want Spurs in the final. Which fork in the road are you more interested in seeing play out?
Probably Spurs, just because we haven't seen it with Wembanyama yet.
Okay. Same with you, Gunner?
Yeah, the consumer in me says Spurs because you want something new, something exciting. I mean, both teams are exciting, but yeah, Spurs are a little bit ahead of schedule, and if they could get one, then you'd really have that rivalry with the Thunder and Spurs. It's just like, all right, both the teams have done it now, so who's going to be more dominant?
I think either path is going to be fascinating, which way we go down. And everyone has that assumption that these two teams are winning a title if they get there, right? Which I say not so fast, my friends, because there's a team offensively that looks absolutely impenetrable right now in the New York Knicks. And I'll be honest with you, I'm fascinated by either matchup. In the matchup, in the scheme of that too, that's going to be a fascinating question to explore as well, of what team do you want to see the Knicks play? Like, what's going to be a more interesting finals? I think both final versions of the NBA Finals is going to be fascinating if you have the Spurs in there or the Thunder in there. I lean a little more. I want to see the Thunder face the Knicks in the basketball matchup side of things, just because of how intense their defensive intensity can be versus how good in transition the Knicks have been versus what is good transition in the Thunder defensively as well. Spurs same way too, but I don't know, man. I think we're eating either way in this NBA Finals. I'm fascinated how it's going to play out.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Also, what happens to New York if the Knicks win?
What happens to New York if the New York loses?
Oh, yeah.
It's either way, man.
Either way, it's rough over there.
Their mayor's got a lot of thing on his hands, man. He's got
the World Cup.
Got a lot of work, man.
You know, giving.
What's the match that's supposed to play the same day of Game 6 of the NBA Finals at Madison Square Garden? It's supposed to be like France and Senegal.
Is it in New York?
Oh, it's going to be at the Jersey. It's going to be at MetLife, yeah. Same day. 3 o'clock, Jorge. You got a match between Senegal and France.
Well, good thing one's in New York, the other one's in New Jersey.
Yeah, but everyone's using the transit. Do not use the subway, man. That's going to be brutal. Good thing we're over here.
They got no way to get to MetLife unless they use the transit.
Do you guys see the video of a guy walking from New York City to MetLife to see if it's even feasible to avoid the $90? And
it wasn't.
You know, there is a path. It exists. It's a painful one.
It's a pain. Yeah.
Bridges everywhere. I've never been to New York. I've never been to New York. I don't know what that concrete jungle looks like or how hard it is to navigate out there. But
the cops yelled at him for walking.
I think people just mad at him because he's walking.
I think the cops were the ones. Hey, you can't walk there or like, something like that.
What do you mean? Because there's no sidewalk?
Yeah, because he was going through like a bridge or something. Not a bridge, a tunnel.
Yeah?
And they told him, hey, you can't. You gotta get hit.
You know, I'm telling you, you see some people at some strange spots of those highway freeway areas anyways. But anyways, I'm ready, man. Game 7 tomorrow. It's going to be a movie. And that's going to be on 790. Of course, you can flip back between our baseball game and that game. So, plenty of reason to listen. Plenty of reason to listen. Do I do prediction now, or do I wait till the end of the show? Well, who we think is going to win Game 7? Should we wait? Let's go to a break, and we'll wait. We'll save it.
Yeah, we could go to break.
Let's save it. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more show right after this on 1430 ESPN. So behind the bench here at 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Wanted to give some updates to the high school level as we had some finals last night. So let's give that to you folks today. Bakersfield Christian last night gets the win 4-3 over Arroyo Grande. Tight ball game last night. But Bakersfield Christian able to win Division II. So they are your CIF Division II champions. Arroyo Grande really gave them a big fight there. So congrats to Bakersfield Christian, though, on finishing off as the one seed there. A couple championships in softball. Avenal, 11-0, a winner over Minarets. And then of another championship, Chowchilla. Beats Hanford Hanford West last night. So there's your finals from the softball side. Champions as well in Central Section there. So just wanted to give an update. I wanted to know what divisions they are. They do not give me the divisions on the Max Prep side of things. So let me give a little more comprehensive look at it real quick. CIF Central Section. Oh, boy, this is going to be fun. Regardless, I know it's playing tonight. So while I do two things at once here, here are the games tonight in baseball. Minarets and Shafter, I believe that's a D5 championship tonight, I believe. Minarets and Shafter, that's at 4 p.m. And then in D3, it is CVC and Justin Garza matching up at 7:30 tonight. I don't think anybody in D3 would have thought we would have CVC and Justin Garza matched up in that division final, but there you go. So congrats to both those teams for making it. And it's going to be a phenomenal baseball action tonight down in Visalia. All right, Avenal is a champion out of D6 on the girls' side, softball side. So that's a D6 championship from last night. Let me see if I can find which one was Which one was the victory there? I'm trying to find it.
Division 3?
Was that Division 3 you got the champion?
Chowchilla?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was D3? Okay.
Yeah, 11-6 over Hanford?
Yeah, Hanford West. Yeah, so Chowchilla, 11-6. They were one seed coming into that one. So congrats to them on winning a D3 Central Section Championship. So let me pull up the softball today as well. California City and Woodlake. I believe that's got to be a D5, correct? Championship, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, D5. Woodlake and California City. Woodlake's the one seed taking on California City. And then also, I believe, D2 tonight. It's got to be D2. Garces Memorial and Redwood tonight. That's Division II softball championship. So there you go. Those are the two games happening today. At Marjorie Wright Diamond in softball and, yeah, like I said, in baseball. Shafter Minarets, D5, D3, later tonight, CVC and Justin Garza. Gunner, you're a CBC guy. Hyped for tonight?
Yeah, man. The community's hyped for CBC Justin Garza. Obviously in Visalia, Valley Strong Ballpark, like you talked about. I mean, I have no clue. CBC hasn't been in a baseball section championship since, I believe, 2016, when two of the coaches of the team now were on the team in high school.
Playing.
So it's been a long time coming. CBC hasn't necessarily been known for their baseball prowess. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting.
We were talking about it. I can't remember who I was talking to. We were guessing, what is it going to be, like 75-25 CBC fans to Garza fans?
Yeah, that was when Gabe Camarillo was on the show on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I have no clue. Justin Garza is obviously a newer school, so and obviously they're in Fresno, so who knows? It's a section championship, so people are going to show out no matter what. But you would hope that, you know, there would be a little bit of a home field advantage for that game.
You want to give a shout out to your brother if he's going to score around tonight?
Yeah, brother Asher Peepgrass, sophomore. We'll see if he gets in. Been pinch running this postseason.
There you go.
Yeah.
And as you told me earlier today before the show, let's see if we can celebrate with some Cold Stone afterwards.
Yeah. see if the dudes go get some ice cream afterwards.
A little CBC championship there wouldn't be too bad as a 9 seed. Great season for them, and certainly a threat to win it all. We'll see. And we'll give this shout. I'm sure Paul Metters will have the full recap tomorrow on his show, Central Valley Sports Report. Real quick, Giants update news just for everyone out there. We won. We won, folks. My ranting must have done something on Wednesday because Tony Vitello heard the anger and the vitriol from everywhere above and decided that Hector Borg no longer will be the third base coach for the Giants. He will now be a player development coach, and Ron Wotus is back in this position to be the third base coach. So congrats, Giants fans. We won. We won't be seeing that crap on Wednesday anymore. You happy, Jorge?
I mean, I don't want to say I'm happy.
He didn't get fired, so we can be a little better. We can feel a little better about it.
I just, you know, there's more of an underlining here. Like there's more things that they need to take care of besides third base. So I feel like it's a step forward. It's not, you know, it's not. I hate when somebody loses their.
They're not losing their job, Jorge. Position. They're just getting reassigned. They're just getting reassigned, you know?
But, you know, if it's better for the team, I love it. I'm done with it.
Better be better for the team, man. I'm running out of reasons to like this team. I can't. Do you want me to try to find one thing I like about this team? I'm trying to find one thing in my head I like about this team.
No.
Gunner, you got one thing you like about this Giants team? One?
Stadium's scenic.
Yeah,
it's a good view.
That's a good one. Stadium's nice.
I love when Max Muncy gets to hit home runs over right field.
You're going to get cut off right now. So we don't talk about it.
Right. Is Madison Bumgarner still getting that ball out of that water?
You know what? Let's just go to commercials.
We can't.
I'm not sending you to commercials.
You cannot send me to commercials. All right, we got like 3 more minutes to fill here. Come on. All right. They got the Rockies today. How important is it to win this series? You tell me.
Well,
if the season's lost, as I am declaring to be, do we really need to win this series? No.
Why are you declaring the season lost? It makes no sense.
You're 12 games below 500.
We're not even halfway through the season yet.
If you were an American League team, if you were an American League team, no team has come back from this worst of a record to make the playoffs, Jorge. I think the 05 Astros.
Didn't they make a movie about this?
Who? What movie?
The A's.
The A's? What? Moneyball? That Moneyball A's team won like 110 games or something crazy like that. This Giants team made it.
Yeah, but it started really bad, right?
What do you mean it started really bad?
It was really bad for them.
Everyone was bad at one point. We're not talking
movie,
about.
They were really bad. And then unless you're telling me that movie wasn't that
great. Yeah, but you don't want to know why it was inspirational? Because the A's had scrapping dollar left and right because of how their situation was turned into. This Giants team is running in money. They're dying to give contracts away. And frankly,
you keep saying that, but you don't know that for sure.
What do you mean? I don't know that for sure. It's right there in front of you. Look at Matt Chapman's salary. Look at Willie Adames' salary. Look at Rafael Devers' extension.
I don't. Where are you getting this information from? Because I don't see your sources.
What do you mean? Where am I getting my sources? I'm literally staring at the salaries right in front of me. Baseball reference, all that.
That don't mean nothing.
Okay. All right. I know what you're doing here. You want to get my blood pressure up? I frankly have had good blood pressure the last couple days too, so I'm tired. I don't want to get the blood pressure up anymore. I'm not getting riled up anymore.
Your doctor did say you were good.
I'm perfectly healthy. He told me I was perfectly healthy yesterday. Just got to get the good cholesterol up a little bit more. Just, you know, got to get that fatty fish in me. Eat some more nuts. You know,
is that what it is?
Pistachios, right? Got to get the pistachios, avocados in me. You know, it's some good stuff. Anyways. Maybe the Giants need that too. Get that in Denver. You know what, though? I will say this. Nothing cures a bad inning team than going to Denver, Colorado. Maybe there's something there with this Giants team this weekend. Maybe we see some good production this weekend.
Maybe you just need some high-altitude oxygen.
Maybe. The high-altitude certainly could be a factor. It seems when Willie Adames comes to Denver, suddenly his season starts turning around. So I'm hoping for something there. Maybe one of those Matt Chapman pop-ups will finally get over a fence when he gets to Denver. All right. We're at the end of the hour there. We can finally go to break there, Jorge. We can finally go to break. There you go. All right. Well, hour number two next. Roosevelt Baseball coming up next.
From local high school sports,
it's good to be joined by our Student Athlete of the Week. Anthony, how's it feel to be a Student Athlete of the Week?
Feels good, man.
To your Fresno State Bulldogs.
Pleasure to always have Coach Entz in the building here. And Coach, how are you doing on this Tuesday night?
Doing good. Doing really good.
When the athletic director of Fresno State drops in here at ESPN Fresno. Garrett, it's good to have you in.
You know, we're just grinding every day trying to get better. But, beautiful weather right now.
And voices from the pros.
On ESPN Fresno with Sean Merriman, Charger linebacker. Great.
Man, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Q Myers joining me now. He's with the Raiders, of course.
Man, I love Fresno. Yeah. I really do, man.
Rick Neuheisel here with us on ESPN Fresno.
It is a treat to be on ESPN Fresno.
This is your home for all things sports. Hosted by Phil Bonatti. Breaking it down, calling it like it is, and taking you behind the game. This is Behind the Bench on ESPN Fresno.
That is right, behind the bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Hour number two of our show as we are bringing you up to Giants baseball coming up in about a matter of, an hour from now. We'll have the Giants, of course, coming to you from Colorado, Denver, Colorado. The Giants taking on the last place Rockies. The Giants trying not to be the last place Giants after this weekend. So we will see the results and know them once we hit Monday back on our show. One more hour till we take you to the weekend, of course. And it is good to be joined by some guests here. First time guests for me. We got Roosevelt Baseball, who is now joining me in studio here. And it is a pleasure to have some members. Of course, we got Manny Milano here, the coach of Roosevelt Baseball Program, of course. And from left to right, we got Brian Roberson II, Rocco Portillo to my right as well. Guys, make sure you get close to the mic so people can hear you, and you can pull them to wherever you get to. And it's good to have you guys in studio. I'm sure some excitement, some nervous excitement ahead of tomorrow's game, but glad to have you guys in. How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing good. Appreciate you having us.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate having you guys in. And, of course, it's good to talk to some teams who are certainly looking forward to competing for a title tomorrow. And, Manny, I'll start with you. This is an exciting time for the Roosevelt Baseball Program to get a chance to play in this game tomorrow against Corcoran. How exciting is it to have this opportunity for these guys?
It's exciting. These guys put in a lot of work all year long. You know, these guys, you know, from the 5:30 a.m. workouts to, you know, late night practices, you know, we told these guys, put in the work, you're going to see the results, and those results are showing, you know. But I'm excited for, especially for our seniors, you know.
Yeah.
I guarantee their first year here, they weren't thinking we're going to be playing for a title but by the time our time here is done, you know. So they put in some work.
Is Coach right about that? I'll go to Brian first. Is Coach right about, you didn't think that this would be potentially an opportunity here, but here you are. You're ready to face for a title here, and this team is ready to go after it. Brian, was this a long shot possibility when you first started here, Roosevelt? Now you're like, oh my gosh, here we are. We're playing for a title tomorrow.
Yeah. I never really thought we'd actually get here, but we put in the time, we put in the work, and now we're here. Now it's right there, right in our faces. I believe we're going to pull through. We're going to get this win.
Of course, certainly. Very excited. Rocco, same question to you, man. Like, take me back to when you first started here, and now you're at this game tomorrow playing in Visalia, right? Tell me where the belief was from the beginning to where it is now, and you guys having a chance to play this game tomorrow.
Well, my belief was my freshman year, we were a 3-win team to now we're a 20-win team. So I believe that all the work we've been putting in is we're going to take it tomorrow.
Right.
Coming in, we want it. We haven't had a championship game in whoever knows how long.
Long before anybody else has been around, right?
Yeah, so we're hungry, you know.
20-win season. 20-win season, ain't that remarkable. Manny, how does a program like this turn around like this?
Just that these guys believe in, you know. Just the work they put in. We tell them all the time, you got to buy into our system. You buy into our system. And the results will show, you know, that's what it comes down to, you know. Every single one of them, not just one or two guys, they all got to buy in. Everyone's got their individual jobs. They all do their individual jobs, and the results are going to show. So that's, you know, and they're doing it, you know. Like I said, I couldn't be more proud of these guys.
Yeah, and that doesn't just come from the coaches. It comes from the players, right? And you guys as leaders on this group, senior leaders, right? Where was the onus coming from the player side? Because coach can say whatever he wants, and it's got to come from you guys, right? So tell me where those conversations as a team came from for you guys to take ownership of wanting to be better and wanting to progress as a team. I'll go to either one of you if you want to jump in here on that. But tell me where it comes from a player standpoint.
Honestly, this comes with all of us together. We come together, we just come push each other. All of us, we all have the same drive.
Yeah.
We have the same goal. And we're all excited to be there.
Absolutely. Yeah, Rocco, if you want to add to that real quick.
Yeah, my freshman year, it was bad. No one had leadership. Nobody was listening to nobody. Everybody was fighting against each other. Everybody just, like, didn't agree with each other, but junior and my senior year started to come together and be one as a team, and I feel like since then we really came together to form a really good squad to have a chance at winning this championship tomorrow.
He mentioned junior year, so he probably mentioned last year, right? Yes. Manny, and yeah. And there's some games probably you saw some flashes, I'm assuming. Oh, yeah. Right, is there a game in particular you saw a flash of, like, this is a team that's capable of doing what they're doing right now and getting to a championship? Was there a moment last year you saw that?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of moments that we saw the flashes, you know. We didn't have the camaraderie, truly wasn't there last year. You know, but right now it's you know, where were these guys at, you know, as a unit? You watch these guys on the field and they look like they've been playing together for 15 years, you
yeah.
know. It's a brotherhood. It's more than you know, just baseball. I mean, these guys outside of baseball, we all do stuff together. You know, we go to baseball, other baseball games, go watch Fresno State games. We do stuff
right.
as a unit. You know, so for them, you know, it's just that camaraderie. I mean, you've seen it, and then in the beginning of the year, and gradually as we're going, it's been fun to watch, and these guys are pretty fun to watch. You know, when they're clicking and all.
Oh, yeah. And when they're clicking, you guys are rolling in different kinds of ways in the baseball yeah. aspect of it, right? And I see some scores here, man. I'm seeing some run production from this group, yeah. right? When this thing gets rolling from a player perspective, right? Describe what this team's good at, man. Like, because I feel like there's a lot of good games that you guys have put together in your league season, even early on. Brian, I'm looking at these offensive numbers, man. This lineup can roll, man. What is it like when this lineup gets going?
Honestly, it's like we can't stop us. Once we get going, and there's no coming down. We keep the fire on them.
And it's no stop, Rocco. Like there's no settling for a certain amount of runs. It seems like, right?
Yeah, as many as we can get, we're gonna score. Sometimes we struggle. We struggle in the beginning, but those 5, 6, 7 innings, those are our innings that we're going to come back and we're going to make you guys pay. Like, don't let us get hot or we're gonna score a few on you.
Yeah.
Very unexpected.
Yeah.
They doubt us.
For sure. And Manny, I'm sure from every perspective, the aspects of baseball, there's pitching, there's hitting, there's fielding, the fundamentals, right?
Yeah.
Who's really stood out in your mind of a guy who's grown from that, or a couple guys maybe, who's really grown into those skill sets and helped you guys?
I mean, there's a ton of guys we can point to. I mean, both of these guys on the hitting aspect, you know, Rocco, he's leading the team in RBIs. Roberson's, you know, leading the team in hits.
Yeah.
Stolen bags. We got another guy right here, David Meza, who's, you know, and Xander Serrato, who are some of the top pitchers in our league.
Mm-hmm.
That did a great job. And then Manny over here, he's been great at, you know, a shortstop, wherever you put him. You put him, he's our closer as well.
Right.
Comes in and shuts games down. You know, all of our middle infield is pretty strong. Now we got a great coaching staff too. All of our coaches, you know, everything works together. You know, everyone gels. And I mean, it's fun to watch. You know, it's fun to watch.
And it's fun to get to the ballpark each time, right?
Oh, like, yeah, definitely.
Because I can imagine when you guys started, right? It was like, oh, well, I got practice, and I got, I got to get there, right?
Yeah.
You know, was it like that a little bit at the beginning?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty tough in the beginning. some of us wouldn't even come out, but we just put in the time. We actually thought about it. We're like, you know what? We might just go to get the practice, get through it, get through the day.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
What was the attitude? Because it's fun. It's like, when did it turn fun for you guys? Like, do you have a specific moment for you? I asked Coach about when he knew this team is capable of being a winning program. But, like, for you, when did it turn from, oh, I got to go to practice, versus, man, I cannot wait to get to practice?
I think for me, since I've been at Roosevelt for my 4 years, I think my junior year was, like, when I seen, like, really good potential in this team. My freshman, my sophomore year, I was like, I don't know about this team.
Right.
But after my junior year and seeing how far we made it, coming from, like, no win, 3 wins, mm-hmm. 1 win, I knew, like, this was a team that we were going to go in, we're going to win something.
Right.
And it ended up happening. We made it to the championship. We're going to play tomorrow by Visalia.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to make a really good game tomorrow.
How far did you guys get last year, Manny, if you don't mind?
We were – second round of playoffs, and we ended up losing.
Right.
Yeah.
Was there a hunger with this team since then? Like,
oh, yeah. You can see it.
You get that taste, and suddenly it's like, I want to get the season back going already. Like,
oh, yeah. The team they lost to, they beat them 3 out of 4 times this year, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I think we gave up 3 hits to that team this year. I mean, you could tell that they wanted revenge from last year.
Yeah.
You can see it in them, you know. So, these guys have you know, since last year, you know, but we kept telling them, hey, remember that feeling,
mm-hmm.
because that's what's going to drive you in that weight room when you're in there. That's when it's going to drive you at practice, because next year you don't want to have that same feeling again, especially for you seniors, because mm-hmm. this is your last go around and you don't want to have that feeling one more time.
Right.
You know? So, and they answered the call. So
one more question to these guys and then we'll switch them out. Brian, how special has this group been for you just in terms of you help him to be a better baseball player and being able to become a better athlete? You know, how special has this group been, knowing what you guys have gone through in your 4 years?
Honestly, very special. After transferring here from Clovis North, I actually took the time to bond with this team. They're actually very welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
They had the same drive. They want the same thing. They want to win. And that actually brought us closer together, wanted us to work together even more. That's how we bond. That's how we actually work. That's how we play better together as a team, because we have the same goal.
Yeah. Rocco, same question to you.
I think this team is really special. Like I was saying, my freshman and sophomore year, like, I didn't feel no click. I didn't feel, like, no bonding together. But my junior and this year, my senior year, I felt like we just – got together finally. We knew, like, we want this really bad. After losing that second round of playoffs last mm-hmm. year, it made us want to get something, and we're coming back for it tomorrow.
Can't wait to see it. Of course, we'll get a couple players in. Got Rocco, Brian, appreciate it. I'm going to ask a question to Manny. I will switch the guys in and out. So we'll bring in David and Manny the third here. So you guys want to switch into the room, I'm going to ask a question to Coach. And I want to ask just in the historical context, you came in with this program, right? You know the history of Roosevelt baseball, not much, right, when it comes to being a championship baseball program. And yet here you are, and you see these guys – make history in some fashion and get to a game like this. Mm-hmm. How much is it meaningful to see them represent Fresno Unified and getting to this game with the Roosevelt logo on their chest?
It's special for not only these guys, but for our school and whole and our community, you know, the whole Southeast Fresno community. I mean, it's been, like I said, you know, we won our first league title in 55 years, and it's been 61 years since they won a section title, so you know that's the goal, and we're I know these guys are ready to answer that call.
Absolutely, and I'm going to ask that question to them here. And guys, remember to get a little close to the mic because you know they're pretty sensitive. We want to make sure you hear you. We got David Meza here, and of course Manny Milano the third. Which one we got?
David. I'm David.
You're Meza. David. Yeah. You're man. Yeah, gotcha. Man. Sorry, I just read by the sheet. So. Apologies. Anyways, so David and Manny here. Yeah. Just want to make sure we get that. Guys, tell me about the history aspect of it, right? Because that's got to feel a little weight, right? Because you want to make sure you guys accomplish this thing and make sure this thing happens tomorrow. But just the idea of going further than a lot of teams certainly haven't gone before in this Roosevelt side. What does the weight feel like as a player when you know this team's reaching places this team hasn't seen in 50-plus years?
I mean, it's just, like, exciting just to know that your year is going to be on that banner. You know, you get to make history at your school.
What about for you, Manny?
It's pretty cool. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah?
Yeah. Side.
It's all right. These guys, you know, they're a little nervous, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't really know what to say about that. I'm just nervous.
Yeah, well, tell me about those nerves a little bit, right? Because that's natural, right, Coach? And have you guys talked about the nerves of a playoff game like this, a championship game like this? What is the conversation like ahead of a game like this?
You know, a lot of it's just we work a lot on the mental aspect of the game. That's what a lot of people neglect, but these guys work on it, so – when it comes to actually getting on the field and getting ready, these guys are prepared. But, you know, some of them are, like I said, they're still a little young, a little immature, you know. But, they're you know, overall, they're good. They're fine.
What's your mental preparation for tonight? Like, how are you going to be able to sleep tonight? I'm sure Coach wants you to get some sleep tonight for sure.
Yeah.
But what's that like? What's the ritual tonight before a big game like this?
Just – picture myself throwing strikes.
Yeah.
You know, getting the job done.
So I'm assuming you're getting the call.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Not to reveal anything, you know.
Yeah, no, this guy right here.
I think it's no secret, right? Tell me a little bit about David's repertoire, and then I'll have him maybe talk about what he's worked on. But what is David like as a pitcher?
Oh, no, he's dominant on the mound. That's why he was NYL Pitcher of the Year this year.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime he gets on the mound, he's dominant, you know. And for him, it's about trusting his defense, and he does that very well. He's got defense behind him. You know, all these guys play good fundamental baseball. You know, where he's not always trying to strike guys out. You know, it's about, hey, pitch to contact and making sure the guys behind you are working, and, you know, and that's how you're going to be more successful, you know. So, but he's great on the mound.
David, how long did it take you for you to trust your defense as a pitcher?
I mean, I've been playing with some of these guys for a while, so I've been trusting them for a long time.
Yeah.
This guy, I've been playing with him since I was 9, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You're all right, Manny. You haven't messed up yet. Manny, to hear a guy like that have that trust behind you, what confidence does it give you as a defender?
Oh, it gives me a lot of confidence, you know? Like, he just goes out there and pitch, make my plays, and we do us, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
When has it become such a – like, when you guys feel like you have that kind of locked in, the fundamental side of it, which I know Coach probably preaching even up to today, like, let's work on those fundamentals, let's do those drills, all those kind of things, those things you don't want to be working on all the time, right? But you know you got to take that medicine. What is it like to know that there's a confidence there in the fundamentals that you guys have when it comes to playing baseball up to this point?
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, since we work so much at it, kind of comes natural in the game, you know?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And even though you don't want to do it, right? Like, you got to do it.
Yeah, no, we hate it. So much. But we still got to go out there and do it, you know?
Is this the first time you're admitting it in front of coach?
No, I tell him all the time. We hate it. But we got to go out there, you know, because we got to back up our pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to keep it strong out there, you know?
Coach, you know that, you know, of course, it's important to have them take their medicine like that, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no. For them, it's like I said, it's about putting the proper work, you know. Of course, like I said earlier, you know, they didn't want to get up at 5:30 a.m. every day to get to the weight room and do what they had to do. But you know, at the end, it's all paying off, and you know that's why they're in the predicament they're in. They're in the spot they're in, you know, because of the work they put in. Well, they may not have loved it, you know, but they did it, and it's showing, you know. So that proves to them anything you set your sights on, you can get done, you know.
Right. So it's a little bit of a drive down to Visalia, right? So what are we putting on? Is there a pregame playlist for the road games that we always have? Are we keeping it same? What are we doing on the bus?
Our coaches talks.
You know, we have actually one of our leaders. They'll get in there. They'll go through their mental performance stuff. We do have a little packet for them. They go over it on their own, and then you know that's how we get prepared on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then you know once we get a little closer, you know they can put some music on and all that good stuff. But for the most part, it's we're working on the mental game.
Yeah,
because you know, that's like I said, it's most important.
How much do you want them to just soak it in?
What was that?
How much do you want them to just soak it in, though? Like,
you're here.
You're playing on Visalia. You're playing Valley Strong. Professionals play here, man. Like this. Yeah. How much do you want them to soak that in?
I mean, we definitely want them to enjoy the moment. But at the end of the day, the job's not done. We still got to get out there, and we got to win it. And then after that, you know, if we move past this game, it's going to be state playoffs. So we got to still keep working, you know. But, I mean, as much as we want them to enjoy the moment, it's like, hey, the job's still not finished. So
yeah, at least you guys at the state. To, you know, obviously, you want to win this championship.
Oh, for sure.
But you know, you have state after that, so you know your season doesn't end tomorrow.
Sure.
But how much? What do you think? Like, what does Roosevelt have to do? Like, what are the things Roosevelt does well that needs to happen tomorrow for you guys in your mindset? Like, what are the things you guys got to do? The coach is always telling you to do. What are the things you guys got to do tomorrow to find yourself on the winning side?
Have an approach when we go up to bat. Think, hit it oppo. Never try to pull everything.
Uh-huh.
Just have an approach.
What about for you?
Definitely communication, making everything fun for each other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to lift each other's spirits just so we don't get down on ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let the game come to them, huh?
That's it. That's how these guys play, you know? You just got to do your individual jobs and – we do our individual jobs, and we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know.
It's going to be exciting. Going to be exciting. 1 o'clock tomorrow against Corcoran. You haven't faced Corcoran, I don't think, this year.
Not this year, no.
Yeah. And not to give away the scouting report, what do you know about them that's stands out? You know,
from what we know is they got a pretty good little pitcher. He's throwing, you know, high 80s. But, you know, these guys are prepared.
Yeah.
They're prepared and they're ready to go to work.
Sure, it's a tight-knit group that's been around for together, kind of like what you guys. So it's going to be a real battle. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, definitely. They won Valley last year, and I think they moved there. They were pretty they went kind of far in state, too. So they're going to be a good little team.
Yeah. It's going to be a good challenge, but it's exciting to see Roosevelt there.
Oh, definitely.
See the logo down there, and I'm sure we're going to see the stands painted red or painted green pretty good.
Yes, sir.
Down there.
Yes, sir.
A lot of contingent, a lot of people. Going to be a good caravan down there.
Yes,
and I'm hoping to get down there in time to catch you on the back end of it. We'll see. So, all right, guys. I appreciate you coming on the show and previewing your championship game tomorrow. I wish you the best of luck and represent Fresno well.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with more show right after this on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big, big thank you to Roosevelt Baseball for joining me in the last segment. That's a thrill. What, something 55 years since they last won a title in their league, and now they get into a title game for the first time in something like 70 years, I think I heard, or something like that. Crazy. Crazy. But Roosevelt's there, and those boys worked hard. From a 3-win team like 4 years ago to a 20-win team now, and their 21st win will get them to a CIF Central Section Championship if they can handle business over Corcoran. Corcoran's good, though. They're defending champ over there as well. That's D6, just one of the six division championships in the CIF Baseball Championship. Just crazy weekend. Paul Metters is here. Little surprise guest. Paul, how are we doing?
45 seconds ago, did you know I was coming on your show?
No idea, but you're here. Well, I thought you I heard rumor you were coming at like 3:45, so I was like, I don't know if I have time because I got the Roosevelt side. And you came a little later than expected, which is, you know, fine. We roll with the punches, and I said, well, let's have him on for about 10 minutes here.
Hey, good timing, right? The Lord's always in control. A little bit of a traffic jam coming on 99, but yeah, here I am. High school baseball, Phil, the championships.
How about that?
I listened to the interview with the Roosevelt guys.
Yeah.
Great story, first of all. Love to hear how freshman, sophomore year for these seniors wasn't going so well. And here they are playing in Visalia for a championship game. So, God, gotta love these stories. That's what made high school sports great.
Right. We've already, of course, seen two champions crowned in baseball this week so far. Manuel getting it done on Wednesday. Last night, Bakersfield Christian just gets barely by with a win over Arroyo Grande, 4-3s, but they are able to win D2. We've got D5 tonight, in my understanding, and then we got D3 tonight.
D5
Minarets, so, and Shafter.
That's actually going to be, that. Yes, today.
It's going right now, actually.
4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's going right now, yep, as we speak. And then D2, everybody had it. CVC versus Justin Garza.
Yeah, D3. Yeah, so that was the big upset. Central Valley Christian over Kingsburg, right? Down goes number one. But what a story for Justin Garza. Under 500 before the playoffs start.
Right.
They could win a Central Section Championship game. And then CVC never won a baseball championship. Quite a few in football and in basketball. But the baseball one has eluded them. And Caleb Flores, their coach, played in back-to-back, I think 14 and 15, if I'm not mistaken, for CBC,
yeah,
lost both. Now he's the head coach and can win one as a coach, so that'd be another great story as well.
A little full-circle moment. And, of course, they get to play in front of the home fans.
Yeah.
Too. I think that's something. That's always the fun wrinkle, right? The Visalia angle when it comes to that. It's fascinating. Of course, we talked about Roosevelt tomorrow. We just talked to them. And then our game caps it all off, which we are going to broadcast 5:45 pregame, 6 p.m. first pitch from Visalia. Liberty Bullard in D1. Huh? It's going to be exciting.
And tons of storylines in this one, obviously. If you start with Bullard, they have not won a Central Section Championship since 2012. We know the rich history, the nationally ranked teams in 88 and 89. Before that, 77 was state number one as well. So it's been a while for the Knights, but they're going against a team that's loaded offensively in Liberty, second in the nation,
mm-hmm,
as a team overall in home runs, well over 60 home runs, 4 guys in double digits. I mean, just wild stats, Phil.
Right.
They're freshmen, most home runs in the nation. Their sophomore dude is going to be probably a top 15 to 20 pick in the draft next year because he reclassified. He's going to be a senior next year, so that lineup for Liberty is loaded. Bullard's going to have to play a really good baseball game to win, keep the ball in the ballpark. But those Knights, a good look at them last week.
How loaded does that lineup feel for Bullard with the way they're playing at the moment? Because it feels like nobody can get him out at the moment. They've scored, what, I think 8 runs in the first game, 9 runs in the second game, and it's been attack, attack, attack. They've had leadoff runners, I think, they played 6 innings each time, so 12 innings of baseball total last week. And I think they had a leadoff hitter in 10 of those 12 innings they were up to bat, from my memory, which is remarkable. If you're going to go at that pace in offense, you have the leadoff runner 10 of your last 12 innings. That's insane.
And the stats everywhere show, no matter what league, you know, minor league, high school, college, that leadoff runner gets on, he's scoring at least half the time.
Yeah.
Right? And that's so important. And there's no easy outs in that Bullard lineup. They grind at bats out.
You had them on your show. You were talking about their approach, I'm sure, last week, right?
And the camaraderie as well is huge. But, yeah, their approach, they all have a plan. And that's typical with the Tom Donald coach team. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're the leadoff guy or the nine hitter or the six hitter. You know what your approach is. You know the situation at every at-bat. And, God, you know, there's no, like, anybody that – there's nobody that really, really scares you in that lineup. I know Rosenthal is a great hitter, but I'm talking about a guy that can – really, you know, mash a ball over the field.
Like an Austin Finnegan or a Trevor Harper.
Correct. And obviously no disrespect for Bullard because they're playing in the championship game, but there's the lineup is just extremely solid all the way down. And, you know, like I said, it doesn't matter if you're the six hitter, the nine hitter, the one hitter, you're going to have a great approach. And Liberty doesn't have a true number one guy. We mentioned that Brogan Witcher. If they get into a closing situation, they're going to come in and throw 94, 95. However,
they hit 94, 95.
Yes.
Bullard does.
They do too.
They hit it.
They're not scared of it.
They beat up Wyatt McElroy, right? That guy's going to Miami. That's not a snub of talent, man. He could throw, and they saw it and were able to put it in play. And I'll start with Jason Bain, who might be the MVP of the playoffs at the moment if they had an award. The dude, what? 11 for 11 in his last 12 at bat, like plays appearances.
Yeah.
11 for 11 plus a walk.
And he's hitting leadoff. So there's the leadoff guy. That's going to be fun, Phil. Bullard's the home team, right? So the bottom of the first inning, see if Bain can keep it going and get that leadoff runner on like they've been doing all playoffs.
Does it come down to the pitcher? I'm assuming Wyatt Rosenthal throws tomorrow. That's the common knowledge I've been hearing from the Bullard side. I'm not hearing it. Tom Donald can make his own decision. I know that. He may throw somebody else out, but you got to believe it's got to be Rosenthal tomorrow, right?
I did ask him on the show again. That was, 2 days after their Thursday playoff game. And he gave the typical team first answer. I asked him, well, do you think you're going to start? He's like, whatever coach wants. But of course he wants the ball.
Right.
He's such a gamer. You know, he's been closing. What Jim Sandrini, who's been a wealth of information over at Bullard, on air, Phil, didn't he say something like he had saved 9 out of the 17 wins going into that first playoff game against Clovis North?
Yeah.
9 out of 17.
Right.
He gets a save in it. Not just closing the game out, not finishing the game, but earning a legitimate save. So if they start him on the mound, right, ride or die with your guy.
Yeah. It's gonna be a fun matchup. Is the air dry, Paul? Is it gonna be dry tomorrow?
You know that field play is interesting, Phil. I don't want to waste valuable airtime talking about that field and all that stuff. But keeping the ball in the ballpark is gonna be huge for Bullard. But man, I love their chances tomorrow.
Just saying a little tongue in cheek. Just you know, it's been the comment with air pressure or whatever. I feel like I'm doing the Tom Brady.
I know
Brady,
where you're going with that.
Like I'm the Tom Brady Belichick era again.
Our airwaves hit Bakersfield sometimes, don't they? They might hear
some people heard. I've heard some ears are leaning our direction a little bit from Bakersfield town. It's been a fun ride for the baseball season. Of course, what's great is that all these teams still get a chance to play state. It's not like there's not going to be tears, I think, after. It might sting, but there is a chance all these teams get a chance to play in state and represent all the 12 teams that are playing this week, right?
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround. So Tuesday, state playoffs, and then Thursday again. And then if they make it to the finals, then they play on Saturday. So there could be another full week of baseball for these guys. But for me, Phil, I feel like this essential section, quote-unquote, valley title for these schools just – still mean more than a chance to advance far in state. I think, you know, basketball could be a different situation. Maybe even football now starting to gain more steam after all these years. But yeah, baseball, I feel like quite hasn't got there, but a Central Section Championship, getting the ring, celebrating on that field, that still means a whole heck of a lot.
Well, can't wait for it tomorrow, and it should be a lot of fun. Of course, you're going to have a nice little prelude to that tomorrow with your show. Paul, what do you got coming up tomorrow morning?
Yeah, so we're going to go over all these games, obviously preview the Bullard and Liberty game a little deeper. Jim Sandrini is coming on. Again, a wealth of knowledge, man. That guy knows his Bullard baseball in and out. I do have a little bit of a lead-in, Phil, piggybacking on the Roosevelt story, making it to the championship game. So I was able to watch the entire Emmanuel 16-7 win over Menachie for their 7th Central Section baseball title in school history. My brother was a part, was a major part of the 93 team, which was their first. The 95 team, I was blessed enough to be an assistant coach with Tim Thiessen. So Tim Thiessen, that name goes a long way in the baseball community. He was the head coach of both those teams. He is a Roosevelt grad and their greatest baseball player of all time. He's a Fresno State Hall of Famer, was a pro baseball player as well. So yeah, Tim, Roosevelt grad. A lot of people don't remember that, to Fresno State and then coaching at Emmanuel. So hey, it's time for Roosevelt, right? It's time for the Rough Riders to get a Central Section baseball title.
Representing Fresno Unified out there. Yep. Should be a good show, 10 to noon tomorrow, First String Sports. And so definitely a great lead in into our broadcast later tonight.
And the Emmanuel coach is coming on as well. So you probably figure that out, Phil.
Yes.
All right, we got to figure out where we're going to eat tomorrow before our game.
Yeah, and it's going to be early. I think
a little early, 4:30-ish, 4:15-ish.
Let's get a little 4 o'clock, 4:15, a little grub in us before we head down to the ballpark. So we'll talk off air where the best spot is in Visalia for a little early dinner. But I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, great stuff. Can't wait either.
All right, Paul, we'll let you go. We're going to take a break. We'll wrap up the show next here on 1430 ESPN. I got my peaches out in Georgia. Oh, yeah. I get my wood from California. That's that. I took my chick up to the north, yeah. I get my light right from the source, yeah. Yeah, that's it. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. I realized my mic was on there. Cool. Hopefully nobody heard anything. All right.
I think once we go to commercials, it's they don't hear.
Yeah, all right. And if you did, more power to you. Glad I didn't say anything. You know. Anyways, 10 minutes left. We're on to our weekend. So let's give out the schedule real quick. Once again, remind folks what we got coming up. Giants Rockies coming up in about 20 minutes ish. Yeah, about 20 minutes from now.
Let's say 25.
25 minutes, yeah. 5:10 pregame, 5:40 first pitch from Colorado. You guys ever been to Denver? You've been to Denver, have you? You ever been to Denver?
Passed through Denver once.
You never been to Denver, though.
Never actually stay there, no.
Gunner, you ever been to Denver?
No, I have not, but I probably will be in the future. My sister's going to school there, so we'll see.
Denver, you?
Colorado Christian.
Colorado Christian.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
I also have one of my boys goes there, so.
Yeah. It's,
I need to go skiing there eventually.
I call Denver one of my favorite cities, and it would be my favorite city if it was by an ocean. But the setup of the city is incredible. Like, just easy to get around. There's a free bus. You can just ride up and down, like, the big main drag. And awesome, like, sports town to, like, go hang out, like, at a bar before you go to a Broncos game, before you go to an Avalanche or Nuggets game.
If only it had an ocean.
And, yeah, if only it was next to an ocean. Like, I'd be set, man. I'd be like, got a beach next to this thing? It'd be the perfect city, man.
Do you not enjoy the slopes at all?
I used to ski when I was a kid, and then I wiped out and knocked my breath out, and it was the most terrifying moment for me in my life, and I thought I died, essentially. I thought I was like, I can't breathe. I'm dead. I'm like I just can't breathe. And therefore, I was like, I'm done.
Fair enough.
I don't want to fall anymore. I don't want to get hurt. That doesn't seem fun to me. But my brother's a big snowboarder. He loves the shred in the snowboard. I was a skier, and I forgot that the straight – the French fries make you go fast, and you need the pizza. I forgot the pizza down the hill.
You pizza when you should have French fried on your French fry when you should have pizza.
Yeah, it was not ideal, and I was flying like a 747 down a blue square slope, and I took off, and I nearly crashed into a tree, and basically yard sailed on the side of the slope. And you know what my parents told me? Walk it off. And I walked down that hill.
I mean,
it took me like 40 minutes. My parents were surprised. I didn't ski anymore down that hill. I just walked down that hill. I was a 10-year-old kid, just kind of blubbering, you know. Just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Get me home. Anyways, That was a little revealing, a little therapeutic moment there for you.
Sorry to bring up past trauma.
Hey.
Sounds like fun.
People love their slopes, man. I'll tell you what. It's California skiing, though. I'm not a fan of it either because the snow here is just pretty rocky. It's just kind of icy and chunky. You go anywhere else in the country, man, it's powder. That powder that's nice and soft, you can kind of fly into that.
East Coast powder days? You never heard of those?
Yeah, man. Those are good.
Terrible.
No, you don't like the powder?
I don't think East Coast powder, it's like a joke. I don't really think it's a thing. It's just like, I don't know. I've never been, though, so I can't really say for sure.
I lived in Wyoming. The snow there is real, really nice.
Oh, yeah, that's,
you know,
that's peak.
Really nice snow. Same with Colorado. I went to a Bronco game, and it was 10 degrees. It was a 10-degree game in 2016 against the New England Patriots. And I sat in the upper deck, and it was triple, quadruple bundled up, just trying to lock in on a 16-6 Patriots win at the time.
Jeez.
You know? Great. Yeah. Totally worth it. Oh, man. I will say, if you go to a Rockies game, go to opening day Rockies. It does not matter how bad the team is. The whole town shuts down and goes to the Rockies opening day. And it's a block party. I've said this numerous times. They have many rooftop bars up there. You have all the entire town decorated in just baseball, you know, fan stuff that's going on. The Rockies do know how to do opening day. Outside of that, though, yeah, it gets pretty rough. But you know, I'll still recommend Coors Field over anything when it comes to going to baseball. Anyways, that tangent, Giants baseball in a little bit here. A's baseball on 790. They got the Yankees. They swept the Yankees, I think, last time they played them, right?
Yeah.
In New York. Be a good time for the A's to find some wins here. Got swept by the Mariners, so.
They didn't look good the last few games.
I like it when the A's are good, man. Now, I want the chaos of Major League Baseball having to figure out what to do with the A's when they're in the playoffs.
Sacramento?
I can't hold it in Sacramento. It's too small of a facility. We've already heard about this, remember? They have to go play in San Francisco. God knows the Giants aren't making the playoffs.
If they make the playoffs, they got to go to San Francisco.
You know that.
Oh, that's right. They talked about
They talked about this. They have to play at San Francisco if they play in the playoffs. Because that's not a major league site.
It's bigger than what they have now.
It certainly is, but it's not big enough for major league playoff coverage, right? Because the rule is you have to have enough room for the national press to be there.
I feel like there is enough if you...
Sir, have you been in that press box? It's nice, but it's not big.
Yeah.
It's like four chairs past all the official scores.
I mean, if you open it up a little bit more...
But. Open it up where? Into the bathroom? Like, what are you talking about? People got to sit and watch the game. I love Chichansey Ballpark, but that's not an option, people. What else we got? Central Valley Sports Report. We just talked to Paul Meadows. 10 a.m. to noon on tomorrow, 14:30. Following
I'll
that,
be there.
5:45. Are you going to be working the game tomorrow?
Yeah.
Cool. 5:45 pregame with a 6 p.m. first pitch. Liberty Bakersfield and Bullard from Visalia. We'll have that. We'll bring you to the Giants game after that. 790, officially, we'll have OKC San Antonio. Maybe this is the time now. Who do we got tomorrow? OKC San Antonio. Gunner, go first.
I think the Thunder favored by 3.5 points. So, it's just interesting. You talked about J-Dub obviously being hurt with that hamstring injury again. I mean, he barely played. He played what? J-Dub played like 10 minutes last game, so he didn't even get to see much action, and it wasn't very effective. So we'll see if the Thunder can – I mean, they've got, what, like 7 first-round picks besides him to their disposal. So obviously in OKC it's a different story than in San Antonio. But, I mean, I think – I hope this one's closer because up to this point it's been – besides game one,
A little closer than game five, right?
A little bit, yeah. I think it was a little bit closer. Yeah. It was like for the most part of the game. But yeah.
You're going Thunder?
No, I think I'm gonna go the Spurs. I think Wimby's gonna have like in game one he did have a generational performance.
Jorge, what do you got?
I'm going Spurs. I think Wimby's just at the end of the day he's gonna be too much for, you know, the OKC. It's gonna be a close game anyways, but I do feel like Wemby's going to come out and have a little bit extra.
What, 37 games in a row now, the Thunder have not lost consecutive basketball games in the playoffs, which is like the third longest or the fourth longest streak at the moment in NBA history of longest consecutive games without losing back-to-back. They would lose back-to-back if they lose tomorrow night. I just think the bench regresses just a little bit for San Antonio, and the bench meets it a little bit higher for OKC. I think Jeremy Cain's a big player for OKC. He had a big one in Game 5. I think he had 20-plus points in Game 5 as a starter. I'd imagine maybe he gets a start again, and it was effective. Wemby's got to be better, though. Maybe that was the anomaly in Game 5. He was terrible defensively and even offensively, so maybe that switches up things. And they were in that game for the most part, you know, even down 22, trying to cut it to at least, I think, 9 before the refs started losing their minds and, you know, throw texts at Mitch Johnson, who never gets texts. My head tells me the Thunder, though, and I'm going to go with that. I want the Spurs. My head tells me the Thunder. I will stick with the team I picked at the very beginning of the season to make it to the finals, and I will go with that. And it's going to be an orange and blue final between the Thunder and the Knicks starting on Wednesday next week. So there you go. All right. What are we watching this weekend? Last couple minutes of the show. What are we watching this weekend? I know what you're watching, Jorge. What do you got?
The final of the Champions League.
Champions League. Who you got? Arsenal and PSG.
I'm gonna go Arsenal. I think it's their year. They won the championship after I don't know how many years.
Right.
But I think it's their year, and I think they got it.
Okay, Gunner, what are we watching this sports weekend?
Definitely gonna have some regional baseball games on.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend. I know we've got some in the office up right now, but that obviously tomorrow's Game 7 will be on, and then a little bit of bonus, gonna be watching some Hunger Games.
Okay.
Movies.
Yeah. There's not real Hunger Games.
There's not a recurrence of those.
Is that what I thought? What were the games where everybody could take roids? What were those
games?
The enhanced games. Were that what
the enhanced games?
Is that like the modern
where nobody can eat any food and then they have to?
Didn't all the people on roids lose? Like, didn't that basically prove that if you're a good athlete, you're just gonna beat anybody with that? I love it. Science rules, man. Anyways. I'm going to be watching hockey tonight, too. I'm going to be paying attention to that. Canadiens. Canes can close it out tonight with a win. Of course, if they lose, Canadiens have the Game 6 in Montreal on Sunday. So could be paying attention to hockey. And then we will see where the Stanley Cup Finals lays out as well. All right, guys. That's it, man. Appreciate you guys as always. Good Friday show. Good luck to CVC tonight. I know, Gunner, you'll be rooting for him. Appreciate you guys both on the show today.
Great show.
We'll be on Monday. Until then, Giants baseball coming up next.